This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Have you ever wondered what Rome looks like when no one else is around? What hidden treasures exist beyond the tourist-filled streets and Instagram hotspots? Well, today's episode unveils the Rome that most travelers never experience, the intimate, authentic city that locals cherish and seasoned travelers dream of discovering. I'm sitting down with Angelo, a Rome native who's revolutionizing the travel experience in Europe's most historic cities. Born and raised in the Eternal City, Angelo took his background in performing arts and transformed it into Live Tours, a company crafting intimate, meaningful travel experiences limited to just a handful of people. Now, while we typically focus on points and miles strategies, this conversation reveals something equally valuable: how to experience Rome like a true insider. Angelo will share hidden gems that even seasoned travelers miss, luxury experiences you won't find on TripAdvisor, and his philosophy on turning ordinary trips into extraordinary stories. And trust me, you'll want to stay tuned until the end to hear about a once-in-a-lifetime Vatican opportunity that most visitors never even know exists. So join us as we explore how to revolutionize your next journey to Rome, creating memories that last long after your points and miles have been redeemed.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we've got a fantastic and unique guest for all of you. Welcome to the show, Angelo, and I'm going to try to get this right, Caro Tenuto. Did I get that right?
That's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And what an intro. I'm humbled.
Absolutely. Well, Angelo, I know you have a passion for creating intimate travel experiences across Europe and have the vision of turning journeys into unforgettable stories. And while this is a pivot from our traditional points and miles based episodes, I always love having guests like you on that can really elevate the travel experience and revolutionize the journeys of our listeners. So before we get into more about your travel philosophy and traveling through Europe and such, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live. And I know from your background, you got started in the performing arts. So how does someone in the performing arts go into building a travel company? So I'd love to get a little bit of background on yourself.
DeAndre, the leap is not extraordinarily huge. I'm born and raised in Rome, Italy, and this is where we're recording from. My mother is American and my father is from Naples. Both of them are musicians, and they met in their late teens as my grandfather from California had won a sabbatical year in teaching music at the Rome Conservatory of Music. And so he brought his whole family, three daughters and wife, to live a whole year in Europe and Italy. Now, mind you, he had Italian origins as well. And that's when the two met. My dad was first violinist of the orchestra and my mother was a violinist. They met there. Years later, they meet back again and they got married and formed their own orchestra. And that's sort of where I come from, and that's where I come. So I come from a family of performing artists. My sister is a dancer. They're musicians. They have their own orchestra. He's a conductor. My grandparents, my aunt, uncles, and so forth. So my path was sort of, I guess, designed for me. And I guess music was always a passion. So singing was always very, very much up there in my interests. and professional preferences. But I went to college in Los Angeles to study acting. So got a degree in theater, got a minor in music, and took a lot of European art history classes, as that was also sort of my interest at that time. And you'll never believe this story, but since I was ye tall, I would help my parents in the summer put up this beautiful, we called it Opera Festival di Roma. And it was a beautiful festival of professional opera being put up in a gorgeous 1500 courtyard in the center of Rome, open air under the stars, with the background of a Borromini church. We built a stage, and the singers that we put up there were some of the most talented grad students of the best universities in North America who wanted to have a very first professional experience on a European stage, gorgeous venue with a professional orchestra, which was my parents. So since I was little, I'd be part of these productions, whether it was me holding a flag of Sarastro in the magic flute or singing along with a chorus or doing some mime work, you know, whatever I could do at that time. But it was summer of 2003. So it was between my sophomore and my junior year that I would come back in the summer and I participated in the opera festival. And this is an amazing cast. 90 people from all over the U.S. were putting up together The Magic Flute by Mozart. And, you know, now I'm 20, 21. So I have fun being the production, but I have a lot of fun being the chaperone and taking people out and showing them museums, art galleries, booking restaurants, going and trying different foods and show them the city in the evenings after rehearsals. So I'm proudly sharing my city. And unbeknownst to me, 6 of those 80 people never took their flight back. They fell head over heels with Rome, and they literally never went back to their American life. One of them divorced. She was obviously clearly already in the way, but you know, she lives like, okay, here's my opportunity.
She saw her ticket to a different life and was like, you know what? This is all I needed. That's wild. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So there was no Facebook at that time. I go to college. I go back to, you know, to my studies. I have no idea these people have stayed in Rome. Spring semester, I get cast in a show. Again, no Facebook. You can't really post big event or anything like that. You send mass emails. And the only person who answers me is one of these 6. And she says, here we are. This is our apartments. Look at us, you know, big group pictures and they're having fun. We're still here after a full year. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's crazy. There's no jobs in Italy for English speaking people, you know, da, 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 da. And she says, we're all tour guides. And that's sort of when I was first met with that opportunity, because I was really intrigued by the fact that they had stayed there, made a living, pretty decent living, actually being tour guides. And so the very first thing I did when I landed back for the following summer is I went to follow her tour, and she showed me how it all worked. Followed her tour, loved it. I felt like I knew already a lot of the things because, you know, of general education in Rome and Italy, having been raised here. Loved the fact that it was sort of a performance and that you were gifting emotions while telling stories. You know, what better is there? And so go out to lunch after the tour, and she says, so what do you think? And I said, well, I think I want to be a tour guide, at least for this summer. And so a couple of weeks, a few books, created my own stories, researched my own stuff. And there I was. That's how I started tour guiding in 2004.
Wow. So you got exposed to what life would be like as a tour guide from someone that you gave a guided tour to just a year before, which is awesome. That's super unique. So obviously you evolved from just being a tour guide to having your own company now, Live Tours. And so I'm curious, tell us more about how you crafted a vision around curating experiences for individuals as opposed to just, you know, being a tour guide yourself.
I cannot omit saying that between 2004 and 2009, when, you know, I first started the company, you know, what I used to say is I signed up for the best gym of tour guiding. So I exposed myself. I was not, you know, focused on one type of tour, one type of client. I was trying to do everything, not just in Rome, but across Europe. I was doing VIPs, free tours, skip the line tours, cruise ship. I was doing teenagers wanting to see 12 capitals in 8 days on dirty buses, you know, literally exposing myself to all sorts of things. And in 2009, now mind you, this is not just me. This is the entire industry. Is realizing that the activity industry, so per se guided tours, but let's call them experiences, was starting to become the fastest growing compartment of the entire travel industry. And this is still true to this day. So 16 years later, it was not just a phenomenon of that time. 16 years later, we are guided tours, experiences are growing faster than hoteliers, airlines, cruise ships, hospitality services in general, restaurants, transportation, grand transportation, and so forth. And it's apparent, it's evident, it's scientifically proven. There's data and statistics about this that now people have come to spend 65% of their travel budget on tours. So despite COVID, despite economical crisis, and maybe even despite coming AI, people want people. People want connections. People want to be transported. People want to be living transformative experiences and be living, perhaps even super exceeding the emotion they were expecting to feel when they were planning or dreaming of coming to a destination. So in 2009, I formed the very first company, which was called Live Italy at that time. And mind you, it was a website that I designed with my high school buddy. There was no e-commerce or anything like that. But the core of it was that everything that people dream about, and Italy is a great playground, right? People dream about Italy for wine, food, art, history, but also fashion, sports cars, soccer, and so forth. So I designed a service that made their dream come true. So on liveitaly.com, you could request, not buy yet, it wasn't an e-commerce, but in 2009, you could request a Vatican Museum tour, so a very traditional experience, or test driving a Ferrari in Maranello. You could be rowing a gondola in Venice, but then wine tasting in Florence, and then taking a tour of Pompeii's archaeological sites. So literally, I had designed everything around Italian's offering. And that was very, very unique at that time, very innovative.
So with that being said, let's then hone in on what you're doing today, because it sounds like a lot of that vision, I'm sure, has carried on. Now, the power of the internet, AI, e-commerce, all of these things has probably changed or evolved that a little bit. But can you tell us a little bit more about what are you crafting today? What are the experiences? And I'd like to then start narrowing that down, because if someone listens to this and they say, you know, I've always wanted to go to Rome, or I've always wanted to go to Venice, what should they be expecting? So first, let's go into what are you crafting, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, that's a great point. I have to be completely honest with you. I wasn't a good businessman. I probably still aren't. The real moment of epiphany and therefore crafting happened when I met my wife, Christine. Christina from Sweden. She comes from logistics, so she has a keen eye for beauty. She's very creative. She had moved to Rome to run the Rome Marathon in 2012. Took 4 months sabbatical from her Swedish life, quit her job, and was just coming to Rome to study some Italian and run the Rome Marathon. She was looking for a room to rent. I had a room for rent. That's how we met. So it's very unromantic. But a few months in, we fall in love with each other. A few months in, she's looking for a job, and people can laugh at this, but you know, Italians are not very good at logistics. So she was having a hard time finding a job. And it's 6 months into this that she and I decide, or I remind her that I have this hobby. It's called Live Italy. I respond to emails. I organize a few tours. I'm still tour guiding for other companies at that time. And I say to her, you know, I think if we put our last few pennies together into this and we start losing our sleep like true entrepreneurs and start being creative and maybe cry, bleed, metaphorically speaking, over this, we'll make this happen. And in this conversation, she proposed, and I couldn't have agreed more, that if we wanted to be true to our North Star, which was making people's dreams come true, revive, relive, super exceed their emotions, even the most traditional tour, Vatican, Colosseum, if you want to speak about Florence and Venice, Doge's Palace in Venice and the Accademia and the David in Florence, has to be as close as possible as people's vision, people's dreams. So we eliminated everything that was nightmarish, right? People don't want to follow a tour guide with a flag, even though they do. People don't want to have dirty headsets in their ears, even though they end up doing so. People don't want to be in the back of a group of 25 people. Rather, if people are willing to pay for a tour guide, they want to be one-on-one. They want to be able to look at the person in the eyes. They want to be able to divert the conversation, ask questions, satisfy their curiosities, be transported by that person's passion, the locals' passion and knowledge. And so we decreased the group size to max 6 people guaranteed. And that was infrastructure that we signed up for the rest of our lives. Trust me, we've asked ourselves many, many times, how much more money could we have made if we were doing groups of 10, 12, 15, 20 people? And every year we're like, hey, we could fix a few, you know, accounts and hire a few more people if we did groups of 12 or 15. But we remain truthful to the point that if we want to craft incredible experiences, the infrastructure has to be there for our tour guides to always super perform. And so we created only privates or semi-privates of max 60. And now, slowly but surely, very what I call paced growth, we're in 26 different destinations across the entire European continent.
Wow, that is incredible. And I think that's kudos to why having a great partner with a completely different mindset and vision from you can be really enlightening. And I resonate with that 100%. My fiance, Taryn, who has been on the show a number of times for our different travels, she's got a background in marketing and branding and consulting and coaching, and very similar kind of conversation, said, hey, look, you know what? I think we could do this thing a little bit better, a little bit smarter, and grow it differently with two heads being combined. And with her knowledge of marketing and branding, my more analytical, but also creative when it comes to videography and financial planning background. And so, you know, that's the testament of a true partner and someone with a skill set that really complements you too. So shout out to our partners out there for sure. So to Christine and Terrence and all those other incredible women and partners out there in the world that really help honestly make all of us do better and grow. So that's fantastic. So that vision, that shift created this spark. The spark now, you guys are really honing in on that experience of six people. And that's what I think someone going into this episode would be like, why would you have a tour operator come on the show? But the show is called Revolutionizing Your Journey because I'm all about individuals or brands or creators who are doing things differently, right? They're revolutionizing travel for individuals. And you guys are curating these really private, really unique experiences, which is awesome. I can say for someone myself that I went to Rome, I felt like I lucked out because we booked the Vatican tour. I made the mistake. Somehow I booked the tour in Italian as opposed to in English with the skip the line feature. So we go up and there's like four of us in our group and then two others. So it was six people. But of course, the tour guide's in Italian. And so we get in the building and she basically said, hey, you know, you're not going to understand any of this. So if you want to go on your own, you can. So we then explored the Vatican by ourselves, which was fun in its own right, but it would have been very different being in a group of 20 people, right? You see all the people carrying the flag with the trail behind them. And you're right. I think that's an experience that while people do it, that's not really what they want to do. And I think you found something unique there. And I love that you're holding yourself true to your brand by keeping that intimate curated experience.
It's hard. It really is. But I guess what gives us the energy to continue to do, to continue to create the way we're creating, is because I guess already 3-4 years into it, we were starting to get emails of customers that had sort of gotten hooked to this way of traveling. And we already knew we were getting 5-star reviews and people were happy with our services, et cetera. But that could be the case for a lot of tour operators. What we were realizing is that there was an enormous amount of customer retention to the point that people were writing to us and saying, hey, we loved your customer service. We loved your tour guide and we loved the group of six people. We're planning our next trip. We're going to be in Tokyo. We're going to be in London, we're going to be in Barcelona, we're going to be in Montreal, we're going to be in Jerusalem, we're going to be in Morocco, whatever. Do you operate there? And that's when sort of Christine and I were like, my gosh, most tour companies are one-hit lead wonders, meaning they get one client, they're happy to have acquired that lead, but then that client flies away and probably never uses you again. And we somehow struck of luck, right? Because you never know. We created a product that people want again and again and again and again. And that allowed us to get inspired to say, okay, let's really develop Italy and then go outside of Italy. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
So for the individual that's listening to this and they want a more personal and intimate travel experience, but let's just say they don't feel like going with the tour company is right for them in general, whether it's the intimate or the larger experience, they are more of the, hey, I do it myself. I like to plan things out myself. I'll walk the streets myself. I'll pull up an app to take the tour myself, whatever it may be. What would be your advice to someone that wants to have more of a intimate personal travel experience, but they don't want to be in any size tour group?
Well, that's absolutely respectable. And to be honest, myself, even though most of the time I have to do tours for business, I enjoy just, you know, as you did, right? You were telling me earlier before we started recording, you rented your own Vespa and you just zipped around the city as a true local, as a true Roman, risked your life for the better good.
Yeah, it's an absolutely terrifying experience. My Taryn, you know, fiance, girlfriend at the time, she had confidence in me, more confidence than I had in myself. And I was excited to do it. She wanted to live out the Roman holiday dream. Absolutely terrifying. May not need to do that ever again, but I'm glad I can say that I did it.
Absolutely. Now, you don't have to risk your life with a Vespa, but, you know, like Christine and I, for example, lately we've been in London and Paris for work, but we didn't get to do any of our tours. And that was kind of like a blessing in a way, because, for example, one thing that we did is we never took public transportation. We rented a bike. So again, you don't have to risk your life, because we noticed that since the last time we had visited London and Paris, the bike lanes had been completely redeveloped and it felt very safe. And we're like, we're not going to put our heads down underground. We want to, you know, see the buildings, the beauty, the life, the runners, the joggers, the traffic, the museums, the architecture, and then be able to just stop on the side on the corner and get a cafe in Paris and look at our bike parked on the side of the sidewalk, or stop at a pub and have a beer like a local. So what I would suggest, though, is a little bit like this, you know, find your way around. If you're not that kind of person that needs a tour, then you sort of have to push yourself out of the door with, it could be a bike, it could be a bus, it could be a Vespa, it could be just walking miles and miles every day. So be out there. And if you have a list of things you need to go see it with that mean of transportation. If you don't, wander around, allow yourself to speak to others and maybe walk into a cafe and try your French or your Italian and, you know, like speak to the person next to you in the bus. Like if that's sort of your thing, then try and expose yourself and connect with the culture. If you're not really buying into the tour thing where you can connect with the tour guide, then connect with the individual.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. Awesome. So connect with individuals if you want to have your own experience. So going back to a city I know you're very familiar with, Rome, and where you host most of your tours and where you're based, obviously we know about the Colosseum, we know about the Vatican, we know about a lot of these different places, but what are some of those, you know, intimate experiences or features in Rome that you think a lot of travelers miss because maybe they're just Google searching TripAdvisor top 10 places, et cetera, et cetera? What are the secret places that you think more, well, you don't necessarily want more people there, but you think people are missing out on experiencing that's not the things they see on Instagram and everywhere else?
Yeah, that's a great question. Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So I guess the joke is based on the fact that statistically speaking, people spend 2.4 nights in Rome, and that's just too little. And that's mainly because they're concentrated, as you said, you know, let's go see the Colosseum, let's go see the Vatican, let's go toss a coin in the Trevi Fountain, maybe see the Pantheon. And that will take 2.5 days, have a gelato, have a pizza, and then you're out. If you extend your stay, this is the difficulty about Rome, right? Because if you've never been, you kind of have to go to those places. If you've been already, or if you're able to extend your stay for more than the really small 2.4 nights, that's when Rome wasn't built in a day came into place. I'm going to tell you three things in no specific order. One thing that I would do is go to Santa Maria Maggiore. There are four basilicas in Rome, right? Four major basilicas. There's more churches than days of the year, but the major basilicas of Rome, cathedrals of Rome, are four. St. Peter's, which is at the Vatican, which you'll see when you're at the Vatican. Santa Maria Maggiore, St. Paul out of the walls and St. John the Lateran. St. John the Lateran was head of the Vatican before St. Peter's was. And Santa Maria Maggiore is a gorgeous church next to the Esplanade Hill, next to Termini. And St. Paul out of the walls is actually outside of the walls. And it is built in honor of the beheaded Paul, the decapitation of Paul, which happened right there. Santa Maria Maggiore has this beautiful loggia and this gorgeous golden mosaic that you can get really up close to by walking up the stairs before entering the church, walking up the stairs and get to see these incredible mosaics of huge angelic figures. And, you know, mosaics are done with very tiny stonework. And that's already incredible. When you walk into the main nave, you're going to see Bernini's tomb. Bernini was one of the greatest architects and artists of Rome. That's where his tomb is. Under the high altar is where supposedly is the remain of the crib of Jesus Christ for the believers. There is a chapel that is called the Sistine Chapel, which is a beautifully frescoed, it's not the Sistine Chapel, but it's a beautifully frescoed church. The entire church is gorgeous. And it is the current Pope's favorite basilica, to the point that he has expressed the desire of being buried in Santa Maria Maggiore. Santa Maria Maggiore also offers an underground. You can go into the underground. They've discovered an ancient Roman villa. And in Santa Maria Maggiore, you can walk up to the top on the roof. You can walk on the roof of the church. And it's very Instagrammable. So definitely, definitely Santa Maria Maggiore. Another thing, if you're not extraordinarily interested in churches, I would rent a bike, get a scooter, do it whatever, how, take a long hike, and go out one of the doors of the ancient Roman walls towards the Appia. And get into the Appian Park and then start walking or biking on the ancient Appian Way, like the Roman street called the Appian Way that you can still walk onto these huge, beautiful granite cobblestones, making up the road, the two-way street that ancient Romans would have built 2,000 years ago, go in and out of the city. And as you go out, there starts to be some tombs and villas and so forth, and ancient Roman villas, and then you can start seeing the aqueduct. And it's an incredible experience. Last but not least, not for the sake of the churches themselves, but there is a number of churches in Rome that have paintings of Caravaggio to go see. And so instead of paying for a museum fee, which obviously you can, if you go to the Borghese Gallery, you will see Canova, Caravaggio, etc., which is an amazing museum, and I should have put this. But if you want to do free, so we were talking about not doing tours, right? You can go and, just to name one, San Luigi dei Francesi, which is next to Piazza Navona, and walk in for free. And there's two Caravaggio paintings. Caravaggio is this incredible artist of the early Baroque, the first one who has invented the light effect into painting. So, you know, right now you have two beautiful lamps providing light behind you. And he is the very first one who's used to analyze that effect and put it into canvas, right? And changing the light features of the subjects and their action in comparison to how the light is hitting them. So yeah, these are definitely top three that come to mind right now. They might change tomorrow, to be honest.
No, I know there's so much to do in Rome, but I love hearing some options that are just different. Like, you don't hear people talk about any of those three things when you hear about trips or tours to Rome. So I think that's really what I wanted to derive, or where should people go that might be a little bit off the beaten path? In that same instance, when you think about outside of Rome, right, because everyone goes to Rome and they typically stay in Rome, but Rome's got a fantastic metro. They've got trains. I know that Taryn and I, we went out, we took a train all the way to Bracciano and went, you know, worked with dogs that were hunting for truffles. And we had a whole 7-course meal put together with truffles that we foraged for. It was a fantastic experience. Only 45 minutes outside of Rome by train. And that town that we were in looked beautiful. We didn't really get to stay because we had to take the train back before the last train ended for the day. But I know there's got to be experiences out there that someone coming to Rome, that hopefully they are staying more than that 2.4 nights, that they might want to get out of the city to see. What are some of those experiences that you would recommend people leave the city of Rome to see that are staying in Rome?
You know, I live 10 minutes from Lake Bracciano.
Nice.
So, I love the fact that you took that train and came out here. And you did that because part of our mission is to create diversification and offering that it also includes these, I guess, more rural, not so visited could be village, could be lake, it could be countryside. But there's, let's go west, north to south of the city. Let's go this way. You can take it with public transportation. If you take a little train that goes out towards the airport, there's one that goes, that kind of follows the airport route, but then goes on to the beach sites. And you can go to La Dispoli or Santa Severa or Santa Marinella or Civitavecchia. And all of these four towns have castles. La Dispoli, Santa Severa, Santa Marinella, and Civitavecchia. Civitavecchia, that's port, it's made by Michelangelo. The port of Civitavecchia is actually made by Michelangelo. The castle of Santa Maria Severa is visitable, and they have guided tours in there. And along the side of the coast, there's a lot of farming. So truffle hunting, farming, wild animals, amazing produce, but also wine. There's a few vineyards that actually make some really, really decent wine. But as you get away from Civitavecchia, so now starting to go towards the north, a little bit closer to where you were in between Bracciano. Today, literally, I biked between where you were and the beach. And in that infra area, there's a lot of ancient Etruscan towns. Etruscans are known to be the very first inhabitants of this area, even before the Romans. And there's a lot of excavations of Etruscan villages and tomb sites in this entire conglomerate between the beach, between these castles on the beachfront and the Bracciano town that you've been into. Bracciano, definitely. Volcanic lake. Bracciano itself has an amazing castle to go see. And it's another train line. And as you said, it's 40 minutes, not even. The food is incredible. The scenery is gorgeous. And I would definitely go there. If you start going more east, there's the Sabina area. And the Sabina area is not that well connected with a little train as well. I mean, there is a train that goes down the Flaminia, but if you want to rent a car, I would probably suggest renting a car, a scooter, and you go into the Sabina. And the Sabina area is this beautiful countryside with vineyards and olive groves and kind of some high mountains. People in Rome, Romans, call the Sabina our Tuscany, to give you an idea. Okay, of the beauty of the gorge, the bucolic feeling that it gives you, and the incredible food and the people and so forth. Rose gardens, again, all of this. Then if you go a little bit more east, you go towards Rieti. So you pass the Sabina, and there's two incredible artificial lakes with this crystal smeraled type water, very cold in the summer as well. Because it comes down, the water comes down from the two great mountains of Termini Long Gran Sasso, where the Romans, when the winter permits, go and ski. So an hour and 50 minutes away, if you want to, in January, you can come and ski in Rome. And then if you come down this way, then you start going towards I Castelli. And I Castelli Romani is a few towns, Albano, Ariccia, Nemi. And these are, there's Castel Gandolfo, for example. There's another lake. It's another volcanic lake. And Castel Gandolfo is where the Pope's summer residency was. And you can go and see the castle where the Pope spends the summers. You can go see the gardens. There's an observatory. You can go visit the observatory. Just, again, incredible. And then if you come this way, so again, back towards the beach, so back towards the west, you're looking at Anzio and Nettuno, which is where the Americans landed, the Allies landed to free central Italy and Rome from the Nazis. So there is an incredible amount of American culture, unbeknownst to many Americans. There is the siege of the monastery of Monte Cassino, and then there is American cemeteries of the American troops that lost their lives in their landing of Anzio and Nettuno. Believe it or not, the biggest sport played in Anzio and Nettuno is baseball, and you can go watch incredible baseball games in Anzio and Nettuno. So, I mean, this is, you're right, outside of Rome is just as fantastic.
I mean, you just named probably five different things I've never even heard of in general, or especially when it comes to travel, Italy, Rome specific. And I know this show could be 2 hours if I start asking you questions about Venice and Florence and all the different places. But just to keep this show shorter, I love what we talked about with these different experiences. I want to elevate the conversation a little bit and say, for someone that's used to traveling a little bit more in luxury, right? On our show, we talk a lot about traveling with points, with miles, usually flying business class long haul from the States to Europe. We flew business class ourselves, or flew out of, we actually came from Ibiza and Mallorca prior. We love the luxury travel experiences, but also we love adventure. So my question for you is, Do you feel like Rome is the place where you can still have a lot of luxury as well? Or do we need to look at other places like the Tuscanies, the Florences, those type of things for the people, the luxury experiences, Milan as an example?
In the last 2 years, 50 new luxury hotels opened in Rome, making it the city with more five-star hotels than any other city in the world, almost certainly more than Milan. So there's definitely, Rome has definitely gone towards, to the point of almost a little bit of frustration for more of the middle class, I suppose, travelers, more budget conscious travelers. So there's an incredible amount of opportunities in terms of experiences. So lodging we've solved, but in terms of experiences, I'm going to name you two that is going to blow your mind away that actually we proudly are offering. One is, for example, it's called the Keymaster Experience at the Vatican. Of course, DeAndre, you and your fiance would have to wake up super early to do this. But every morning, there is a gentleman, a guard, a custodian, the same one, his name is Gianni, who goes around the entire Vatican museums with his huge two rings full of ancient keys. And he, before anybody else comes, in terms of workers, in terms of staff, in terms of cleaning staff, or cashiers, souvenir stores, he has to open and turn on all the lights. So open every single door and turn on the light. Every single door. Imagine doing that through the museum, along with Gianni, completely alone, in a museum that sees 30,000 people a day, a museum that is waking up, that is completely dormant, and you are there opening for Gianni the doors.
Wow.
And the very last door you get to open is the one of the Sistine Chapel.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's wild.
You open the door to the Sistine Chapel. The room is completely pitch dark. He lets you walk in a few steps, and then unbeknownst to you, he turns the lights on for you. And there's Michelangelo.
That is wild.
There's a lot of luxurious experiences in Rome.
That's incredible. Absolutely. You're right. I wasn't actually expecting to be that mind blown with you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're going to have your mind blown. Sure. Okay. Wow. I'm taking a pause. While I capture what you just said, you mentioned there were two. I'm so curious now to hear what's the second experience.
So we just built, and I'm saying this again, I pick two just to pick two, but I'm saying this because we spoke about traveling or using a Vespa to go around. Lyft Tours has just built sidecars, vintage Vespas. So we don't let you drive the Vespa, but we let you ride in the sidecar. And talk about luxury, talk about Instagrammable, talk about vintage, talk about living as a local. There you are. Maybe we'll give you some Prosecco and a little flute of Prosecco. And there you are, sitting in the sidecar, looking at the city while zipping around and going to see beautiful, gorgeous places you've never would do by foot on your own in the luxury, comfort, and fun of being in a sidecar.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible experiences. And candidly, I'm now excited, you know, whenever we return to Rome to say, hey, there are so many more things that we need to see. You're the person I'm going to reach out to because obviously, you know, having that insider look as to, you know, there's experiences out there that you don't find on TripAdvisor, you don't find on Expedia. These are things that you really have to have someone that's looking to curate an experience to understand how to accomplish that. So as we start to wrap up here a little bit, Angelo, when someone's coming to Rome or to Italy or even Europe in general, right, there's obviously the tourist season, but what are the things that they should really keep in mind as far as timing? You know, obviously, weather can be a big factor. What are those things, if you're going to list out some of the things for people to keep in mind when it comes to thinking about traveling to Italy, Rome, whatever it may be, what are some of those pieces of advice that you have?
In general, Spain and Italy, I would do in October. There's, in California, we used to call it, in the Bay Area, we used to call it Indian summer. And it really kind of is spectacular to be able to walk around in your khaki pants and polo during the day and then just put a very light jacket in the evening and just be so comfortable. The crowds are completely different. I have two children, right? Okay. And we work with a lot of families, but there aren't any families. There aren't any small children in October. There aren't any school groups. There aren't any large bus tour operators. There are fewer cruise ships. I'm not talking about the cruise ship traveler per se, but the big 50 people that dock off the cruise and be on a bus and crowd museums. the crowds are still there. They're evident, but they're classier. They're more cultured. They're more about slow travel. They're more about, you know, taking a cooking class and wine tasting and walking around the city and so forth. In general, October is an amazing time. To be completely honest with you, with global warming, I would say that would be the case also for Paris and London nowadays. I was in Paris a week ago and it was warmer in Paris and London than it was here in Rome. I guess more because of the crowds and sort of like what we know is the weather in October, I would suggest that. In terms of visiting sites, look for early access or late entry. Because of all those people that we just spoke about, you know, that big 50 people group that comes from cruise ships or the bus tour or the school group or the big tour operator, they're all going to go 10, 11, 12, 1. That's their time. So they're probably, you know, they're probably going to do the Louvre at 10 a.m. and Versailles at 2 p.m. They're probably going to do Colosseum at 10 a.m. and Vatican at 2 p.m. Try and look for early access or earlier in the morning, despite the fact that you might miss breakfast, but it's worth your while. Or late hours. They might cost a little bit more. They might cost a lot more, but you spend the day walking around the city and entering cafes and having lunches and shopping. Do your sightseeing in the early part and in the later part of the day.
Angelo, absolutely love the advice you've given, the tips, the travel on Rome, how to experience Rome a little bit differently. Some of the places that are more on off the beaten path. So this was fantastic. Where can individuals follow your organization if they want that curated trip led by you and your team, whether it's in Rome or somewhere else? How can they connect with you?
So Live Tours is online on a website. Live Tours is spelled L-I-V-T-O-U-R-S, livtours.com. The website shows all of our tours and all of our 26 destinations across Europe. They're easy to filter, easy to go through categories. Okay, I'm a family. Okay, I'm looking for a day trip. Okay, I'm looking for luxury. Okay, I want an archaeology fan. I'm a sports and activity. So you can filter all of that. And then once you find the tours, you just open it up and you read the whole description, reviews, availability, costs, and you just shop for it. I hate to say this, but it's almost easier than Amazon. And if you want more than one, you just build your shopping cart depending on your schedule or wherever you're going to be, and then you buy the tours. If you have any questions about the tours, or if you don't see exactly what you want and you want something a little bit more customized, boutique, more up your alley, and maybe it's a mixture of things that we have, maybe it's something completely different, we're more than happy to customize. There's an incredible team made of native English speakers in Ireland that answer almost 24/7, and then we'll be able to take your requests and make your dreams come true however you may need to. Social media, clearly, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, the usuals, you'll find Live Tours.
Awesome. Angelo, before we wrap this up, two questions I always like to ask. So the first one is, who else should we have on this show that is all about revolutionizing travel for individuals, whether it's curating unique experiences, whether they've got a brand that is tailored to the traveler? Who else should we have on the show that you think would be a great fit?
Ocean of Ciao Bambino.
Okay, and why is that?
He is an incredible woman, incredible human. The drive and the energy that she's transmitted to me almost in a mentorship style since I first met her, and then we started working together in 2017, 2018, has been unmatched by anybody else I've ever met in the industry. Amy started as a blog writer, and her blog was called Ciao Bambino. She had traveled with her husband and her child, who was probably at the time 7 or 8, to Italy, and realized that there were so many unanswered questions that she wanted to put down in a blog. She puts out the blog, and she realizes that people start asking her so many interesting questions that she can transform those into revenue. And she quits her job in IT, and she starts planning trips. And now she's one of the most respected travel agencies worldwide, first known for family travel, but now literally since it's been a business I've been alive for almost 20 years, that, you know, the children are now adults planning their own trips. And look at her, she's doing fantastic, and she's so intelligent and so smart, and so she has a very incredible edge and knowledge about tourism and travel that I would definitely talk to her.
Awesome. We'll work to get her on the show. Angela, this is fantastic. Any last thoughts for the listeners when it comes to travel, live tours, Rome, Europe, experiences? Any final thoughts you have?
Yeah, don't forget your dream, what emotions you were going through during your dream. It's really easy in the planning stages to sort of transforming all those visions and those expectations. It's just a list of things that you need to go see. And that dries out all of the fun. And you may hop back onto that flight, return flight, hopefully your traveling business, but with a smirk on your face because you're like, okay, done that, been there. But you want to be, the whole point of traveling is not to exploit. It's not to go there and say, done that, been there. It's to live that experience and that emotion. That's why we call ourselves Live Tours. So don't forget about what your emotional expectation was and do whatever you can, budget permitting, to make that emotion come to life during your travel.
Angela, I don't think that's a better way to wrap this one up. This was absolutely fantastic. Thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for being someone who is helping to revolutionize the travel, the journeys of other individuals, especially in places like Rome that are very well known, but the outskirts as well that aren't as well known. I think probably the jaw-dropping moment of this episode, which you called it, was knowing that there's a key master that you can follow around in the Vatican and experience that. I can't even imagine what that's like, because being in the Vatican, seeing the Sistine Chapel with 100 other people in the room is a mind-blowing experience on its own, let alone the privacy of just taking it all in by yourself. And that is absolutely incredible. So, Angelo, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Deandre. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, if you are looking for those intimate experiences with travel, if you want to work with a company that's going to curate and help you revolutionize your trip to Italy, whether it's Rome or beyond, or Europe or beyond, make sure to reach out, follow Angelo and Live Tours as well. If you enjoyed the episode today, be sure to follow us on all the social media channels as well. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, our private Facebook group as well, to get all of our private information, or insider information, I should say. And as always, don't forget to tell your friends, like, share, subscribe, do all the things, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As Deandre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.